They're from Mama. Oh, they're not from Mama?
Oh, okay.
I fixed it. What did you get it out? Oh, well. You punch holes. Some people don't know to do that. You often. Okay. I'll do this. Open up. I'll do this. Andy Murphy will do this.
Forgot about that. We're starting a little late, aren't we?
No, it says exactly 10:15.
This says 10:20 up here.
That's 5 minutes fast.
Sorry. I didn't think it was on. Testing. We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Good morning and welcome, everyone. Oh, y'all sound worse than me. Good morning, everyone. So glad to have everyone here with us. And we do just want to take one moment to recognize any first-time visitors. If you're a first-time visitor, please raise your hand so that we can recognize you. I think everybody looks very familiar this morning. Well, we're so glad to have everyone with us. Please remember to sign the registration. If you are starting the registration, make sure and write the date and the 10:15 service so that they can differentiate with that. Did want to let you know this morning that the flowers that are here, the hydrangea flowers up front, are in memory of Linda Marable. They came out of her personal hydrangeas, right? And so we're thankful the Bryants brought those for us this morning. Thank you so much. At this time, I would like to just call your attention to the bulletin for announcements. Make sure you read through that. There is a lot going on. Specifically, I do want to just mention about the yard sale that we're having next Friday and Saturday for the mission trip in the fall to South America, to Cali, South America. And so we are having the yard sale Friday and Saturday. The Dornans are going to serve barbecue, chips, and cokes on Saturday. The yard sale ends all day Saturday, Friday and Saturday. And if you are interested in participating or helping in any way, I'll tell you where the needs are. If you've looked in the back of the gym, there's just tons and tons of stuff. I've got to start pulling that out this week and pricing it. If you have any time that you can come this week and help get some pricing done, that would be great. I'm going to try to be here in the mornings from 8:30 to 10:30 to do that. I have plans Monday and Tuesday night, but after pretty much probably on Wednesday, I'll be around a lot, Wednesday, Thursday, in preparation. Sam and Nancy will be here quite a bit. So if you have any time that you can come up and spend some time pricing items, yard sales are much more successful when everything has a price on it. So it is important to try to get that done. And also, if you would like to work at all and spend some time just circulating on Friday and Saturday during the yard sale hours that are 7 to 4, we would appreciate your help. And if you have questions or you want to sign up for something specific, you can contact myself or Tracy or Sam. And I guess our information circulating, right? Is it in the bulletin?
It is.
Okay. Is there anything else? Yes, Sherry. Okay. Okay, individual serving? Like individual?
No,
okay. I know that we have asked a lot of people recently, and it just keeps going. I think it's a good sign. I like to see the church busy and always, always going. I know it does wear people out, but, you know, just hang in there with us. It's all for a good cause, and if you can do anything at all, we really would appreciate any help that you have to offer. And are there any other announcements in the congregation? Anyone?
Susan.
Hey, sorry.
Next Sunday, the 26th, General Assembly 2005 begins. We have many opportunities to be involved. One of them is to be host at the host table, a hospitality table, and there's a few empty spots. Every spot is filled, except there's spaces for two people or maybe you put in a third person who's going to be there, and you can see what's open, what's available, and we will be contacting you next week to make sure that you remember what you signed up for, if that's okay. If I don't want to be reminded, tell us that you know that you'll be there. Then on Monday night, we will host the moderator's reception in our gymnasium, and Nancy's doing the food, Carol and Elizabeth are doing the decorations, and somebody else is doing what?
I don't know.
Some of us have already constructed a building that you can might be interested in, and it's going to be a big time. We will need people from our church here on Monday night, starting about 7 o'clock, to help people find their way around here. The bathrooms, et cetera, et cetera. Where to park, where not to park, et cetera. So if you could be here, then that would be great. If you want to attend a worship service Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock, that's about 2:30, I believe, at the Cool Springs Marriott, the retiring moderator will preach at 7:30 on Tuesday night. A longtime pastor from Houston, Texas, Hugh Parsons, will preach Wednesday night, communion service, 7:30. The 7:30 communion service, a multicultural missions program. The Board of Missions is in charge of that, and we'll probably have people from South America, Liberia, China, Japan, Brazil.
That's neat.
Sudan.
Sudan. Mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
We hope to have all of the Korean, also some Korean people, we hope to have them involved, or somebody else is planning that. We are the host church. I'm the pastor host. So we need just people, especially Monday night here at this church. That's the 27th. And I know there's another organization in town that meets, and we couldn't avoid overlapping. But any time that you can be available to sit at the hospitality table, put your name on here. If there's already two names there and you want to be there with them, that's fine. You may find the name of people that you don't know, some people from other church. One person at least called and said, put me down. I want to help. I want to be at that hospitality table. And so her name is on there also. We'll start passing this again. If you don't want to, we've got them all pretty well covered, but we don't want to leave anybody out. So everybody's been asked, right?
Hey, working for the Lord is hard work. You got to do it with joy in your heart. So, y'all just hang in there with us. I said, the church, we've got to grow. I was just telling Sam, we have got to grow this church because we've got to have more workers. So, I do want to just, is there anyone else who has an announcement? Anything? Okay, well, we'll move on to our prayer and praise edition update, if anyone has one at this time. Yes. I think Sarah's on the prayer list, or maybe just at least in our Sunday school class. So we'll ask her. Anyone else? Is she doing okay? Are there any more updates or additions to our prayer list? Okay, thank you. Let's pause for a moment of silent prayer before we begin our worship. Everyone, please bow your heads. Amen. Thank you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God.
Hope in God, for I shall again praise the one who is my help and my God.
Let us worship God.
Let's all stand up and turn in our hymnals to 477. Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, he soldiers of the cross. Beside his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Fill every foolish vanquish, and Christ is born indeed. Stand up, stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For through the Lord he conquered, with his royal day.
Father, we come into your presence this morning. We come to recognize you as the Father of us all. Lord, we know that you are a wonderful Father. You're a loving Father. You're a forgiving Father. You're a caring Father. And Lord, we come also today to honor and recognize earthly fathers. And Father, we thank you for the privilege of being a father. And we thank you, Father, for the fathers that you gave us here on earth to guide our lives and to give us direction and to just be the people before us that we needed before us. As we have come together, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to dwell with us. We thank you that we can come together to share our concerns and to bring our hurts and pain, our suffering before you. Father, we thank you that we can also be excited about the work that is being done in your name, for your honor, for your glory. We thank you for these young people. We thank you for this mission team, Father. We thank you that they can go and do service, but also go and have fun. And Father, we pray for your Spirit to be with us in every activity. Father, we pray for the assembly. We pray for those who will be leading. We pray for the elections. We pray for the decisions. And we pray for this church as we participate in the ways that we are afforded the opportunity. Now, Father, we just ask you to guide us through the continuance of this service, and we pray that we can truly bring glory to you through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
As you turn in your hymnals to hymn 498, peace like a river, joy like an ocean, joy like a fountain, love like an ocean.
Express our faith in God through our statement of faith, our Apostles' Creed. Please join me. You can find it on page 716 or just above us. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please, so we are learning hymn 501. Play through that for us, please, one time.
meet about three or four young people, our teenagers. Do we have any teenagers? One. Then do we have the next age? Come on.
Yeah.
And do we have some sixth graders, fourth graders? Fourth, fifth, or sixth graders? Thank you, thank you. We have a tribute this morning to the fathers through Scripture, the story of the prodigal son, but it's really a story of a loving, forgiving father. And also, we have Paul's admonition to husbands and fathers from Ephesians. So from Luke 15 and from Ephesians 5 and 6. You should have this scripture before you on your insert. Will you join me as we read responsively? Speaking of the prodigal son, so he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming.
Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed
him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And kill the calf we have been fattening in the pen. We must celebrate with a feast.
For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost and now he is found. Let us party again.
You husbands must love your wives with the same love Christ showed the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism and God's word.
He did this to return her to himself and the glory of the church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault.
In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies, for a man is actually loving himself when he loves his wife. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Honor your father and mother. This is the first of the Ten Commandments that ends with the promise.
And this is the promise. If you honor your father and mother, you will live a long life.
And now a word to you fathers. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline, our discipline and instruction approved by the Lord. Young people, will you distribute to each man a copy of the little booklet, and then we'll sing together a song concerning our relationship with God, our Father.
Do you have enough? Everybody? Covered? Okay.
If anyone has a friend they would like to take a booklet to, you may...
Turn in your hymnals, please, to hymn 278, let's sing 1-3, first and last.
Oh,
believe it's children's time, and if Miss Andrea will come forward and the children will come and be with her. Who is leading children's church? Julie is leading children's church, so you may go with her if you so desire. Offertory sentence, for God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love that you showed for His sake in serving the saints. as you still do. Words written to the Hebrews, but words applicable to you and I, to this congregation. With that thought, let us invite the ushers to come forward and offer our prayer and then receive the offering.
Let us pray. We praise you for being the loving, almighty Father of us all. We praise you for being the Father of our Son, of your Son, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being a Father. We thank you for our earthly fathers. Our earthly fathers-in-law. I thank you for the privilege of being a grandfather. Father, I ask that you forgive us when we make mistakes in following and help us to take a new step every day towards being a better father. For all that you give us, for all that you offer, all of the understanding, the love, the mercy, the tenderness, the compassion, and most of all, the forgiveness that you give us. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I ask that you bless this church. I ask that you bless the outreach of this church. I ask that you bless us as we invite the General Assembly here. Help us to entertain all those, but most of all, to entertain you as you're with us during this special time. Help us work hard as a church to show our hospitality, to show our love for you and all that we do during this General Assembly. May all the decisions and all the said and done there to glorify your name and magnify your name above all. Father, I want to say that we ask you to bless each of these windows that we install in the church. And may we look at those windows and think of all the many works and the lessons that you taught us all those years ago in our lives every day. Thank you so much for being our Father. And right now, Father, we ask that you place this tithe against gifts and this offering that you want to do. May that be used to glorify your name. For it's in your Son's name that we ask all this.
Today's scripture is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. But when they have no root, they believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. For the word of God, for the people of God.
The parable of the sower, or it could be the parable of the seed. We looked at the parable two Sundays ago. Actually, we looked at Matthew chapter 13, and I even forget the verses that have the parable of the sower in them, but it's Matthew chapter 13. Also, Mark chapter 4. Three times we have the parable of the sower recorded by three of the gospel writers as they were telling about the life of Jesus. And this seems so appropriate and so personal. I felt the need that we take a closer look at this parable, because I felt that 2 weeks ago we just kind of hit the high spot over it or kind of introduced it to you or you to it. My question this morning is, what does this parable say about us? What does it say about me? And what does it say about you? And I would like for you to think about that as we consider it this morning. Certainly, this parable is not only about people other than ourselves. That means to say, it's probably about us. If you want to get really serious about it, there's no probably to it. It is about us, because we're the one that's dealing with it. At least it's about me. And you being here this morning, I consider it being for you also. Some people like to look at a parable and we begin to discuss it. We say, oh, those people are them. Well, what about us? So let's think of it. I find this parable very personal. Very personal. Let's get right to the explanation that Jesus gave. Look at verse 12, if you will. If you want to follow these verses in your handout or in the Bible before you, you may do so. In essence, verse 12 says, people hear the word. Some people hear the word. And then the devil comes and takes away the word of God, from their hearts. He was explaining the seed that fell on the hard dirt or ground of a well-worn path. It stays on top of the ground, and somebody comes and steals the word away. When the word has been given to you, has it ever happened to you personally that the devil came and stole it away? I've often accused the devil, or halfway accused the devil, of hindering my understanding of Revelation. I put it something like this about the book of Revelation, which I have had trouble understanding, or all the book of Revelation past the third chapter. I can think I can get chapter 1, 2, and 3. That's seven letters to seven churches, and it says pretty plainly, you make me sick. One of them says, you lukewarm Christians make me sick to my stomach, you make me want to vomit. Wow, that's one translation of it. You make me want to spew you out of my mouth. The modern day world, kids would say hurl. Now God is saying, you lukewarm Christians make me want to hurl. Well, I can't fail to understand that. I've hurled a time or two. Don't tell anybody, okay? But don't pass that outside of this group. Okay. But anyhow, some of the first three chapters of Revelation, I think I've got it. I think I have at least. But the 4 through 21, is that what it is? 4 through 21 has been so difficult for me to understand. I'll read it, and I don't understand it, and I'll pick it up later and read it, and I still don't understand it, and I pick it up later and read it, and I still don't understand it. Put that with the last 6 chapters of Daniel, and I really get confused about the horses and the riders and the colors and the, well, all of those things. And I've made the statement that either God has not seen fit to reveal the meaning of the book of Revelation to me, that's half of my explanation, or the devil has kept me from understanding the book of Revelation and the last 6 chapters of Daniel, the book of Revelation past chapter 3. So I can say that I can identify with this passage or this parable and this 12th verse of Luke 8 when I say, or when it says that the word was thrown out and the devil came and stole the word away. Like when seeds are thrown out and the birds come and steal the seed away. Think with me, if you will, about hearing or reading God's word. Or take that a step further, a deeper step, though this mention of the word or the words uses a plural. So that's the spoken word of Jesus or the word of God from the Old Testament. Okay? Both of them. But we mentioned 2 weeks ago that also Jesus is the word. John began his gospel, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among men. Jesus. That was Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God, and Jesus became flesh and dwelt among men. The Word. So, the written Word. Think about hearing or reading God's Word, or just think about also, if you can put all three together here, hearing, reading, or just meeting Jesus. Meeting Jesus. Coming into contact with Him. And it, the Word, or He, Jesus, has no effect on our lives at all. We just read it, we say, well, that's just some printed letters put together. Or we look at Jesus and we'll say, well, I saw Him ride by on a donkey, but what does that mean to me? It has no effect on the hearer. Just think about that. That didn't happen to you, did it? It's kind of like, though, in those cases where it has happened to people, we're talking about them now, aren't we? It's like water running off of a hen's back. No, a duck's back. Like water running off of a duck's back. It never touches the duck. Because the oil in the feathers of the duck repels the water and it just runs off. Like a good, shiny finish on an automobile. You put 14 layers of wax on it. Miss church, that's another thing that might keep us away from the Lord, polishing our car. There comes a time in our life when that happens. Many times it's teenagehood. But it's like water running off of the duck's back or water running off of the surface of a well-polished automobile. It has no effect on the hearer. They are never really touched. These people are never really touched by the Word. They are never really touched by Jesus. He went by, He may have even talked to them, but like the rich young ruler, he was touched enough to be sorrowful because he couldn't give his life to Jesus, but he was really, not really touched. Seriously, by Jesus. These listeners or readers, they may see the Word as applying to other people, but never applying to themselves. Or they may see the Word of God as saying that was a nice story, or they may even see Jesus being the Word as a nice man that lived a nice life before us, but what does that have to do with me? I could never be that good, some of us say. Or I didn't even want to try to be that good. Have you heard that one? Maybe, hopefully you haven't said it, but if you have, we can deal with it. They never see the word applying to themselves. The devil has blocked the word. The devil comes and steals it away, is what Jesus says. The devil. That brings up another subject. The devil. The devil. What are you talking about? Who is the devil? Do we believe in such? Well, Jesus did. Jesus talked about him. Jesus said he was active in the world. The Apostle Paul followed right along and said the same thing. The evil force in the world. Paul wrote about the power of the evil force in the world in Ephesians chapter 6 and encouraged us to do battle with it, to be prepared to go out with a fighting spirit. Defensive as well as offensive against the evil in the world. Jesus dealt with the devil immediately following his baptism. Probably a person's life in relationship to God is the highest right at their baptism. Would you say that? I mean, we've just committed to the Lord. He is fresh on our mind. It's a new game for us. It's like almost better than a new house or a new car, a new girlfriend, new wife. And we're so wrapped up in Jesus. We've been baptized in His name. Well, Jesus was baptized and went out into the desert to kind of talk to God a little bit. Spent some time, and there came somebody called him Old Slewfoot. You heard him call that? I think the preacher used to be up at Millersville talking about Slewfoot, right? Sam and I was up there and singing one time, and he preached a wild sermon, something like that. No, they marched around the church when y'all were there. That's okay. We might want to march around the church. Anyhow, Millersville Assembly, Brother Baggett, the happy pastor. Boy, he could talk about Slewfoot all day long. But anyhow, that won't go there. Okay. I almost said he knew more about Jesus, Slewfoot, than he did. No. But he warned people to stay away from him, to stay away from Slewfoot and come to Jesus. That's what he did. He's still doing a work at a Rivergate assembly, I think. Okay, the devil, the evil. Jesus went out into the desert, and there he was, tempted him. We have record of 3 particular temptations. Even the devil used the word, but a twisted version of the word, to try to call Jesus away or to hinder Jesus doing the will of God. You see, the will of God is revealed to us through the Word, but the devil tried to twist the Word to get Jesus to follow against the will of God. But Jesus knew more than the devil did. He knew more than the devil did. So he straightened him out, in essence. Jesus dealt with the devil immediately where the devil was trying to use the word, though he was misusing it. He, the devil, may keep you from hearing today. The devil may steal God's word out of your life, even this very day. He may have stole that portion about being a good father. He may have stole that portion about a forgiving father. He may have stole that portion about being a good husband or a good wife. That was included in there too, wasn't it? He may steal it out of your mind and out of your heart. You know, even one of Jesus' disciples, and not Judas Iscariot, even one of the other disciples tried to call Jesus away from following God's will. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking about the difficult time that they were going to face. He was talking about to the disciples that he was going to have to go to the cross. There's going to be some sacrifice. And Peter stepped up and said, "No, Lord, forbid it, Lord, that that could ever happen to you. This will never happen to you." And Jesus even called Peter Satan then. Satan was speaking through one of Jesus' disciples, the one that kind of rose to the top, the cream of the crop, if you will. Peter. He became the spokesperson for those disciples, didn't he? He became the outstanding one. The one that we read most about in the book of Acts. After Jesus was gone, the work was left for the disciples to do, and he took the leadership there. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan, as you're not speaking like I'm telling you, like I've been teaching you." Matthew 16:22 and following. So I urge you today, when Satan comes to try to steal the Word from you, steal God's Word, to keep you from grasping God's Word and applying it to your own life, to pray that he doesn't get it all. He might get some of it, but pray that he doesn't get the meat of the Word. We live by the Word from the mouth of God, not by physical bread alone. It's one of the things Jesus told the devil, didn't he? The devil comes and steals the Word that's on ground that's too hard for the Word to sink in, or a heart that's too hard for the Word to sink in. Then there were rocks. Verse 13. Some people hear the Word. They gobble it up. Boy, this sounds so good. I love what I'm hearing. They gobble it up for a while. And soon, they fade away. I cannot count the individuals. I started preaching regularly in 1966. October, the last Sunday, I'd preached that summer in another church. I'd preached the spring before that, and I'd preached occasionally before that. But since the fall of 1966, count those years up, almost 39 years. Been in the pulpit, been dealing with people, been trying to teach people, and I've seen them come and I've seen them go. They come in, they get excited, and they're going wild, they're going crazy. It's like they say of the person who first becomes a Christian, you need to lock them up for the first 6 months. Because they'll do more damage to themselves and to the rest of the kingdom if you don't watch them. And that's kind of a joke. That's not really true. But they just can't get enough of the Word. They can't get enough of Bible study. They can't get enough of church people. And then, all of a sudden, well, very quickly, I guess that's all of a sudden, they fade away. I can't count those individuals. I've seen this happen too. I've seen it happen over and over. But you have too. I'm not the only one that's been observing this. I'm not the only one. Maybe you have been tempted to give up on your Christian walk. Maybe you have wanted to drop out of the race. And it is a race. And sometimes it's a difficult race. Have you been tempted? Maybe you've been tempted this week. Maybe that preacher made you mad. Didn't intend to. Maybe it just happened. Just drop out of the race. Many have come to Jesus expecting only dessert. Many have come to church expecting only the hand clapping, the hand lifting, and singing the happy choruses. That's part of it. Praise God, thank you Jesus for that part of it. But there's some sacrifice connected with the church. I want to tell you, it was Friday night. I went home and I had sacrificed all day. It was a voluntary sacrifice. And I was pleased to do it, but I went home and I could hardly walk, friends. I had sacrificed. And I had sacrificed. But I felt good patting myself on the back. I said, this morning I got a good illustration to tell you all about how much I sacrificed. Thank you for listening. Okay. Maybe you've been tempted. Maybe you have come thinking it was all dessert and found out that there was some turnip greens and collard greens to be mixed in with that. Good for you. You may not like them, but they're good for you. Even some bitter herbs don't hurt you sometimes. You know, we need a dose of quinine, as bad as it is. My mother fed me so much magnesia growing up that I never could grow up. She kept me stunted with it. Anyhow, just enough on that. Some, when they get to the sacrifice, they keep saying, "I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I don't want to put up with this. I didn't expect this." Those are the people that the seed fell among rocks, and they grow up and get really started first, and then they fizzle or they fade. "I'm out of here." They don't want any sacrifice. The Living Bible translates this when the hot wind of persecution blow, they lose interest. When the hot winds of persecutions blow. When the Roman soldiers come down on you, they're out of here. They lose interest. Paul urged the Ephesians, a group of Christians that he visited often and loved, and maybe his favorite church, or the faithful church, the church that probably other preachers said, I wish I could be the pastor of a church like the church in Ephesus. Can't prove that, but as you read about them, they were so good. Paul urged the Ephesians to be rooted in love. Be rooted in love. Ephesians 3:17, I believe it is. The Living Bible translates this, may your roots go down deep. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Get rooted in God's love. To Timothy, Paul wrote concerning church leaders, but it applies to everybody else. They must keep hold of the deep truth of the faith, not the shallow stuff. But those are the ones that fade away. Move on to verse 14, thorns. Jesus said the thorny ground represented those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and do not mature. The Living Bible paraphrases this one like this. The Living Bible paraphrase gives four things that he mentions. Worry, listen to this. They listen and believe God's word, but whose faith is choked out by worry and riches and the responsibilities and the pleasures of life. Four things mentioned there in the Living Bible paraphrase. Worry. Worry shows a lack of faith. If you want to read about worry, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and see what Jesus says about worry and how dangerous it is and how sickening it is. It'll make you sick. And it don't help a bit. It's just a waste of time. I did read a sermon this week. I think it was this week. A preacher down in Texas wrote a sermon on how to worry correctly. And he used Jesus' teaching about worry, but he said that there was a way to worry correctly. But I forgot what he said in that sermon, so I can't pass that on to you. That was for my own benefit. Worry shows a lack of faith. Worry puts us in the same group and lumps us together with the heathen of the world, or the non-Christians. And then the next thing he says, riches. You know, some people are poor and they turn to the Lord, but when they get rich, they turn away from God and start doing ungodly things. And I think of anybody who is a young person who really gets successful in the world's eyes. And I think of some pop stars, musical stars that are on the scene now. And you saw little girls or little boys who learned their ability to learn how to perform in church. And they get on top, and they act like anything but church people. The worst thing that can happen is to get successful in the world's ways. In many cases, it can be a preacher that gets too successful in the world's ways. And we know stories like that. It can be a football player or a basketball player. When they get so rich, they forget about God. It can be a musical person, a rock star, or a country star, or whoever kind of star. They forget about God. Riches choke out God in so many cases. Folks, if you're thinking about getting rich, get well grounded to God. Don't let riches choke Him out. Because what if you gain the whole world and lose the soul? What do you got? You got a life, an eternity of torment. You want to get in there. And then responsibilities. Now, it's good to fulfill our earthly responsibilities. But sometimes even good things, we allow them to choke God out. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That same sixth chapter of Matthew. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And these
responsibilities will be met. We serve God first. Put Him first. And then the pleasures of life. You know, preachers used to preach a lot about fishing. And again, does anybody remember hearing any sermons on fishing, how bad it was to go fishing on Sunday? When they were missing the boat as good as they were, as much as you loved them. If you heard those sermons, maybe y'all were all fishing. But they were missing the boat because the fishermen were not there. They were singing to the choir, preaching to the choir. The fisherman wasn't hearing how bad it was to fish on Sunday and miss church and miss the place for God. I don't think I've mentioned that except today, but about three times in 18 years, have I? About once every 6 years, it's okay to mention it, right? And then preachers got to preaching on golf, about how bad golf was. And the golfers wasn't there. They were out on the golf course. They couldn't hear the sermon. And we'll sit around and say, yeah, those golfers out there, they let God be distracted, be pushed out by golf. And we said, oh yeah, those mean old fellas out there, then girls started golfing. We went through all that, you know. But that's not the case. Not the situation. It could be anything that takes away our attention to God. What is it in your life? You know, the title was God's Word and Me. And I want you to read that and say, oh yeah, that's me. Not just me, but me out there. God's Word and Me. Pleasures. Thorns. What are the thorns in your life that are choking out God? They're there. Jesus talked about them. Jesus knew about them. Think about the people you know, though, who fit this situation. Something crowds out God from their life. Maybe it's many things, as I said, not bad things. Maybe good things. But they still crowd out God. They're not good if they crowd out God, though, are they? Maybe some things, or some one thing, or some many things, keeps on bothering you and trying to buddy in there between you and God. Do you have something in your life that keeps trying to get between you and God? Keeps trying to separate you from God? What are some of the distractions you are dealing with? I want a discernment to be personal to you this morning. What are some of the distractions you are dealing with right now? The things that keep pulling you away from God. What are they? Do you want to think about that for a moment? What are some of those things that keep being thorns in your life? Calling you and your attention. Attention that God deserves. Time that needs to be spent in His presence, and things keep pulling you away from it. Good soul, isn't that what we all want to be? The good soul where the seed is planted and it germinates, and it grows, and it produces not just good people, but it reproduces new converts, like the Baptists are trying to do right here this coming week in our neighborhood. Let me ask you a question. Can God overpower Satan? You know, Satan's coming to steal the Word. Can God fix that? Well, He did. He overcame Satan. He outwitted Satan. He outdone Satan. Back up. He outdid Satan. See, Jesus died, but He rose again. Satan couldn't keep Him dead. Death could not hold Him. He overcame. He came to life again. He paid the penalty. He arose. Can Jesus pulverize rocks? Can Jesus act as a rock crusher on our hard hearts? You know, we've got a heart of stone, the Bible says, and Jesus is going to take it out and give us a heart of flesh. Back in the Old Testament. Well, in the Old Testament, we learned last week from the children's stories that Darius had a who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in the fiery furnace. I've got that one right, or have those, or was that Nebuchadnezzar? Anyhow, we looked at both of them, Darius and Nebuchadnezzar, last week. The one that it was Darius, his heart was softened, and he became a believer in the God of the Israelites. Now, can God eliminate thorns? Can God take all of the thorns out of our lives? Well, I think He can. I'm convinced He can, if He wanted to. But I think the better thing is He can help us get through the thorny places of life. Do we want a life that's all deserved? Do we want an existence that's all glory, hallelujah, bed of roses? Be nice? No, it wouldn't. God can give us skin thick enough and tough enough that the thorns won't really hinder us. How about that? Is that good theology? He can give us strength to endure the problems that come up in our life. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it's verse 13, God would not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way to escape. How about that? He'll lead us through the stormy pass. He'll enable us to endure it. Paul prayed three times, he testified, to have the thorn removed from his life, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Live with it, Paul. Live with it. And then Paul gave a great testimony to show us how to live with it, the thorns in life. So my conclusion would be, study more, pray more, work more for the kingdom of God. Study more, pray more, read more. And now let us turn to 208, Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And when we think of the sacrifice that He made for us, oh, glory, hallelujah. When we think of that sacrifice that He made for us, how could we not stick with Him? Through rocks, through thorns, and through even attacks from the devil. Let's stand together and sing 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5. You may have a public response this morning. As we sing, you're invited to make that right here in this altar.
Keep you. The Lord lift His countenance. Thank you.